probably outrun
a lot. I told him he'd run cross country and went all the way to Australia and competed at everything. And I told him you had an Army background and your granddaddy had 40 some years of Army military background. So, yep. Well, good. Thank you. I'm sure he appreciates it.
Hi, Mr. Gary.
Good evening. I'm well.
Boy, this is the lowest attendance we've had forever.
I'm scared of goblins. Scared of trick or treating.
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe that's where they're at, trick or treating. Well, let's start with a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're thankful for this evening that we have to study this part of your word. We pray, Lord, that we always study it with an open mind and use only your scriptures for a proof text. We ask for forgiveness of our sins as we do fall short and we sin in our lives and do things that we ought not. And we know that these studies help us overcome issues in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Jacob, or yeah, Jacob. How about 32? Genesis 32.
Oh, it was Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob 32.
Yeah, it's about Jacob, so. Hello, little traveler. Genesis 32. I'm just going to read the whole chapter and then we're going to talk about it and talk about Jacob. As we read through this, I want you to kind of think what kind of a person up to this point that Jacob was. And I've got an opinion of it by what he's been and what he came from. And there's a big difference between Jacob and Esau. But we're gonna talk about those things in a minute. Now, as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him. Jacob said when he saw them, "This is God's camp." So he named that place Mahanaim. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to his brother Esau, in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. He also commanded them, saying, "Thus you shall say to my lord Esau, thus says your servant Jacob, I have sojourned with Laban and stayed until now, and I have oxen and donkeys and flocks and male and female servants, and I have sent to tell my lord that I may find favor in your sight." The messengers returned to Jacob, saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and furthermore, he is coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed, and he divided the people who were with him, and the flocks and the herds and the camels, into two companies. For he said, "If Esau comes to the one company and attacks it, then the company which is left will escape." Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, O Lord, who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your relatives, and I will prosper you,' I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and of all the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. For with my staff only I crossed this Jordan, and now I have become two companies. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, that he will come and attack me and the mothers with the children. For you said, 'I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered.' So he spent the night there. Then he selected from what he had had with him a present for his brother Esau: 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, and 20 rams, 30 milking camels and their colts, 40 cows and 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys and 10 male donkeys. He delivered them to the hand of his servants. Every drove by itself, and said to his servants, pass on before me, and put a space between droves. He commanded the one in front, saying, when my brother Esau meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong, and where are you going, and to whom do these animals in front of you belong? Then you shall say, this belongs to your servant Jacob. It is a present sent to my lord Esau, and behold, he is also behind us. Then he commanded also the second, the third, and all those who followed the drove, saying, after this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And you shall say, behold, your servant Jacob also is behind us, for he said, I will appease him with the presence that goes before me. Then afterward I will see his face, perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on before him while he himself spent the night in the camp. Now he arose that same night and took his two wives and his two maids and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jebbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and he sent across whatever he had. Jacob wrestled. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh, so that the socket of Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with him. Then he said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So he said to him, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with men and have prevailed. Then Jacob asked him and said, please tell me your name. Why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. So Jacob named the place Peniel, for he said, I have seen God face to face, yet my life has been preserved. Now the sun rose upon him just as he crossed over the Peniel, and he was limping on his thigh. Therefore to this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip, which is on the socket of the thigh, because he touched the socket of Jacob's thigh and the sinew of his hip. Now you go back here. Jacob's on his way. What has Jacob been like up to this point? What has Jacob been? Anybody?
Servant, pretty much.
Yeah.
Or Laban.
I think a con man. That's the way I mean, what did he do to Esau?
Well, with his mother's help, he conned
him. Yeah, oh yeah, his mother was involved.
So he took Esau's.
Yeah. Now.
But Esau gave it up willingly, too.
Oh, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. I, you know, this is my personal observation. I have seen Jacob now as a runner. Kind of the coward type. He runs from Esau. He's running from Laban. He conned Laban. He conned Esau. So I don't know what to think about Jacob. I mean, any thoughts up to this point? What Jacob's been?
I don't really think he conned Laban. I mean, what he did was he learned how to negotiate.
Yeah.
He had been conning, but now he learned, with God's help, that if he did what he was supposed to do, he was going to be blessed.
Well, Laban said, you deceived me. And he didn't argue too much with that. He said, I did that because I was afraid.
He didn't tell him he was leaving. It's not really deceitful. I mean, he just didn't tell him. He didn't have to. He completed his obligation. He did what he said he would do. And he knew what the reaction was going to be from Laban. And he didn't want to deal with it. Is that deceitful?
He probably had enough of Laban after working.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Oh, no doubt.
His contract.
He changed his wages 10 times in 6 years.
Right.
I mean, it's two of a kind. Let's see here.
I got a point on that.
Yeah, go ahead.
Jacob, I think at this point, he's been very selfish individual.
Yeah.
And I think we need to look at it in our same way. Before we become a Christian, we're doing worldly things and sinning. But when God, I guess you could say, gets a hold of us, when we get taught Scripture how to become a Christian, you know, I'd hate to think I was judged on what things I've done before I became a Christian. I've told people I was a heathen.
I think this chapter is going to tell us how Jacob is turned around. But if you go to verse 25 or 26 in chapter 31, it says, "Then Laban said to Jacob, 'Why have you done by deceiving me and carrying away my daughter like captive of the sword?'" Of course, that's Laban's side of the coin.
Well, they weren't his daughters anymore. They were Jacob's wife.
But those traditions were, you know, strong. And then he said, "Why did you flee secretly from me and deceive me and did not tell me that I may have sent you away?" So Jacob, and he says, "Because I was afraid." I'm not sure where here.
And I get looped into another 7 years.
Yeah. I'm getting into it. Before I become a Christian, I wrestled with it. I knew what I needed to do. Edwin Hayes had taught me good. Mandy had been a big influence on Mark Chester's mom. She'd been an influence on a lot of people. She was direct, and that's where you need to be. But when he says that, he wrestled with him until, you know, his socket came out. That's what we do before we become a Christian. We find out what to do, and we wrestle with that until it finally hits you, you know. And he became, and I think that's what's happened to Jacob. He's done a lot of things wrong up to this point, but now in God's got a hold of him, wrestled with him, and now in he's going to be Israel.
I agree, and that's getting clear to the end of the chapter, but why do you think his name was changed? And to your point, a new identity.
Just for that point.
A new identity. Same as Peter. Remember, he went to Cephas and went from a little rock to a big rock. And then there was Paul, that was Saul.
Abraham and Abram.
Nebuchadnezzar changed Daniel's name. There's all kinds of, and it's the change, because like you were talking, I think maybe last week or this past study, that how names mean a lot. And it, you know, I think here that when Johnny was talking about the identity and the person of Jacob is really changing, because up to this point, he would just somebody. God's trying to direct him, but he wasn't taking much direction.
Well, names are, as far as I understand it, names are eternal. We'll have the same name. You'll know us by our name forever. The apostles, when they saw Moses and Elijah with Jesus, they knew what their name was. They called him by name, and they were 1,000 years before them.
Yeah, Genesis 31:31, that's where that was. "And Jacob replied to Laban, 'Because I was afraid.'" And now, how was Esau and Jacob compared? What did Isaac see in Jacob?
Say that again.
Pardon?
What did you say again? Say that again.
Let's go back to 25. And I think this is important. Let's see if I can find it. I gotta find this because I think it's important. I wrote it down. Isaac loved Jacob because he was a manly hunter. And it says that. I wrote it down. I forgot where I wrote it. But Jacob was somewhat of a quiet guy.
Verse 28 goes something. "And Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, but Rebekah loved Jacob." That the one you're talking about?
Yeah, that's one.
Sarah called him a mild man.
Yeah, kind of mild man. I guess maybe I just made a...
27.
Made a mental note of it. 27? 27,
27.
The boys grew, and Esau was a skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate his game.
Yeah, and it said somewhere he preferred to stay at home.
Yeah, they're dwelling in tents.
And I'm just going out of my my memory. I should have wrote more notes, but that's just kind of a side note of what, and the reason I kind of brought that up is kind of what Jacob was. He wasn't the kind of person that you think of this great big leader. And by him running off and leaving and stealing the birthright and all that deceiving his father, what do you think's going on in his head? What kind of a person he is? I think he was eating him up. You know, because he has seen the angels. He's got messages from God. The ladder, Jacob's ladder. You know, we talked about that. And he's starting to put some of this stuff together. And so, you know, as I go through and I think about him running away from Laban again, things are coming to a head. I kind of a desperate situation. He sends these troops out to meet Esau because he was afraid. He divided his camps. And it looks like to me when I read that if one gets destroyed, I'll just run over here with the other one. Because he didn't know what was going to happen. So everything I see from Jacob wasn't the person he should be. I mean, anybody in the right mind knows who should go out and see Esau. Should have been him. He's a coward standing back. And then when he's by the river and they've all left, he finds himself alone. And I thought that was an interesting statement, that all of a sudden I'm all alone. And he's got some, you know, like soul searching. And it's here that he wrestles with God, or an angel of God, or divinity. I mean, it really doesn't say, it says a man, but we know that it's not just a man.
He was smart enough, though, as we will read on after this chapter, that he put them in the order of how he cared for them. He put his concubine and her children first, and all the way down. He put things in order to where what he thought the most of them would be last. Did you? That was some slick thinking that we'll know later on.
And to address your point, I think, Johnny, I think he finally addresses the issues in his life. You know, his name's going to get changed, but he finds himself all alone. He wrestles all night. That's a strange concept to me, that how God puts this together and for us to try to understand. I mean, he's all alone. That's why when I was reading that, I said, man, it just don't make sense to me. In my mind. So I go back and look at Jacob. What has Jacob been? What was Saul? What was Paul? You know, he was a persecutor of Christians. You know, when he smelled blood, he went out to get him. And God changed his name to Paul.
But he didn't try to manipulate God's portion like Jacob mother both tried to do what God had already told them was going to be done. They didn't have to get their noses in it and try to fix it. God was going to make it happen. But they both thought, I think they didn't have enough faith in God to do what he said, and this now, he's having a revelation, you know, from now on, or at least I see it that way, that I'm going to let God do it. Whatever he tells me to do, I'm going to do.
Yeah.
This is where I think it transformed Jacob, you know, and it says in 28 that he had, because he had prevailed, so he had suffered and not given up, and, you know, it changed him. It humbled him, changed him. It was his defining moment, I think, for Jacob. From when he, you know, after this, then, you know, of course, God changed his name, but I think it was his defining moment to last all night, and he was different from then on.
Hosea puts it in a clearer understanding for us in Hosea chapter 12, number 2, says, "The Lord also brings a charge against Judah, and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to his deeds. He will recompense him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and in his strength he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us." So it tells us that God considered what he had done as wrong also. That's why they wrestled with him.
Yeah, now, when I was reading this, I thought, boy, if I look in the mirror, we look in the mirror, I'm thinking, God had some business to do with me, too. I have business to do, you know, about what Johnny was talking about, you know, making things right. The wrestling, you know, wrestling with our, what our life has been. Now, Jesse was talking about, I have been seeing God face, yet my life has been preserved. And I thought that when you go back to verse 12, it says, "For you said," and this is Jacob, "I will surely prosper you and make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be numbered." But verse 11 says, "Deliver me, I pray thee." He had prayed to God before and this took place. "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him." And that's Esau at this point. "I fear him, and he will come and attack me." So his prayer was answered there. You know, that he got delivered. I think that's one of the things that was happening here. And I think that's what that means there, that he was preserved. Let's see, I have some other notes. You know, and to me, when I look at this, I think desperation kind of set in with him when there's no other options. You know, he thought he was going to die. You know, he thought Esau, because Esau said, "I'm going to kill you." And when they said he's come with 400 men, what did Jacob think? Jacob thought, "This is the end. I'm afraid." He divides his troop and hoping he can get and manipulate his way and get out of this again. He sends all these presents and gifts and cattle and stuff. And then this wrestling. I mean, it's hard to make sense of that, isn't it? That the angel of God. But in a way, it kind of doesn't. It kind of does make sense, because this was a promised person. He had received the promise. God told him, "I will be with you." I think up to this point, Jacob kind of forgot a lot of those things, you know, that God is going to be with. And we do the same thing. We do the exact same thing. God tells us that, like I said, Matthew 28:20. Some of Jesus' last words, "I'm going to be with you." He told that to the apostles, and Isaac and Abraham, all of them. But we forget that. And I think here, Jacob had nowhere else to run. I mean, he was basically caught. And so he prays to God, "Please deliver me." And that's what happened. And they changed his name to Israel. Did you have something, Donna?
Well, I don't know if you mentioned this while I was out, but something I was reading about, like in verse 31, where it says that he halted on his thigh because it had been dislocated. that was a permanent thing to remind him that he would have problems with that leg, to remind him of how God had done that.
Yeah, it was a scar. And do you imagine he had a few stories to tell the rest of his life? I mean, you know, about what happened, and that limp's a constant reminder. And you know, you can't help but to think about this stuff in our lives. You know, and we go through different issues, and we end up with scars. You know, we were affected by the way we were. Just exactly what you was talking about, Johnny. You know, we're affected by that. And we have those scars where we have overcome. And we overcome out of desperation or the need for God. And that's how I seen this wrestling match. Johnny?
I mean, I just couldn't keep from thinking of it as Donald was saying that about his scar. As we study from the New Testament, we don't know what it was, but we know what a heathen Paul was before,
yeah,
and became a Christian. But he had a thorn in his side, and
it says he prayed
God three times, I believe. To do away with it, but God never did do away with it. Whatever it was, he used
constant reminder,
reminding where he come from. Yeah. You know,
my grace is sufficient.
And our problem is you, mankind, we always try to fix it. We always try to fix it. And Jacob, up to this point, same way. It was always him trying to fix it, manipulate it, change it. He just didn't cry out to God. Here, when he found himself alone before the wrestling match, he cried out, and that's what Chess was talking about. He cried out to be preserved. And I think that was partly because he was afraid. A lot of coward in Jacob up to this point. But it may have been things are entering his mind that what God had told him, like Jacob's ladder, you know, the dream, how God says, I'm going to be with you, and your descendants are going to be like the sand of the ground, and your children, you're going to be blessed, your children's going to be blessed, and through the blessing. And maybe all this stuff's all come together. And when he found himself alone, the wrestling match starts. And he didn't give up. And that's kind of, you know, to me, that's where I start to see the change in Jacob. And what makes wrestle all night? I mean, I just can't imagine wrestling all night. But on the other hand, if we put that in terms of our sins, haven't we wrestled with things for longer all night? I mean, for weeks and months and years, and sometimes people go to the grave wrestling with these issues instead of crying out, you know, please preserve me. And his name was changed to Israel, and I think that was a change of identity, and we're going to see a bunch of changes. Gary, go ahead.
Well, and I agree with you, and I think it's more when, especially when men are young, we think we can fix the little things. I'll take care of this guy. Well, you know, don't worry. Just hang in there. I'll take care of the little things. But we don't see any part of the plan.
Exactly.
It's right in front of us.
We don't see behind us. We're just.
And then see, we don't see the cliff right over here. We just see, oh, we got to go over this hill, and then we'll be okay. Well, when we get to that cliff, then it's, oh, God, save me. I'm falling.
Yeah, I don't know if it was Mark or Jesse that was talking about that. And any time he'd prayed before, up to this point when he changes, it was always the God of my father, the God of Isaac. He had never recognized that the connections between him and God. This made a strong connection here with Jacob and God. Jacob couldn't run anymore. He couldn't run. He just couldn't run anymore. I mean, it was the end. And you know, what's the quickest way to sunlight? I mean, what's the daylight? It's not by running west. It's running east into darkness, and you'll come to sunlight sooner than if you keep running west. You're not going to contact it. That's not my word. I've read that somewhere, but I'm not smart enough something like that. But it's just a true fact. You know, that a lot of times we just run and we're going the wrong direction. And to me, up to this point, that's just what Jacob was doing. Always the wrong direction. Let's see, I want to give some more points here. What's this seeing him face to face? Seeing, because we know...
no one's seen God.
Huh?
No one has seen God's face.
No.
No man, anyway.
See, where was that? The Leviticus? 32 or 33, verse 22. Somebody looked that up. I think it's 32 or...
I'm not sure, but the cults...
33:20, maybe.
They use those as...
Somebody look at 33:20. Just see if that... Make sure I'm on the right page here. Exodus. It's not Leviticus. That's what's wrong. Sorry about that.
On 27, Leviticus chapter.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know that.
Exodus.
33:20.
33:20. But he said, "You cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live."
But yet it says here that he's seen God face to face. I've seen God face to face. Donna?
Well, maybe that's just an expression that he was fighting with the man, and that was what he meant is God seeing God face to face.
And that's kind of what I thought. I thought, well, he didn't see God personally face to face. He seen divinity, you know, at that point.
So I guess an angel wanted
it. Angel of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, there's two things about that most people believe. One, it was an angel, so you could have seen him face to face. And two, it was Jesus Christ. Could have seen him face to face. But he didn't see God.
He's the one that could have whipped him if he wanted to.
Yeah.
He didn't have to wrestle. It could have been over in a split second.
So what was different in Laban at this point, at the wrestling match, and the Laban before? I mean, am I right on the Laban before?
You mean
Jacob. I know. Yeah, I know that.
Jacob.
I'm glad y'all here. I'd have this all. But I mean, how? What was different in this? What did Jacob do differently this time?
He manned up.
Yeah, he manned up. He held on and he didn't let go. He wasn't going to give up, and he wanted a blessing.
Realized he was in the presence of a heavenly being or whatever, or an angel or a man that looked like an angel that looked like a man. But I think he realized where he was at, and he was dealing with God or someone associated with God.
Much higher than
he wanted that blessing that he was able
much
to
higher
get.
Than
right.
And I think that goes along partly too with protecting his life from Esau. You know, I think that's, you know, Jacob still wrestling with both sides of the coin here. He asked his person, man, two questions. First, what is your name? And he didn't get that one, but the second was, please preserve me. And he honored that one. So, therefore, this day the sons of Israel do not eat the sinew of the hip. I don't understand really all that. He does walk with a limp. We know that at this particular point in his life, he didn't let go. And I see that as somebody wanting to change and is going to change. And the whole scenario changes now. Let's see. And you know, to me, when I read this, I made some notes, and kind of what John, I mean, everybody's been talking about, but John especially, some understand this in their lives. They get it. You know, they understand this wrestling and dealing with issues. And some, as we know, never get it. They don't understand it. They just go on blundering, and I said going west. You know, they never finding the light. I kind of made that note. And then I put on that Jacob had a big story to tell. And can you imagine that story? This was kind of a Donner.
I was just thinking too that Jacob had every reason to believe that Esau was going to
kill him. He told him he was.
But after he wrestled with the man or the angel, that his life was preserved. So now maybe that encouraged him that, you know, he's not going to get killed. God's going to take care of him going ahead to the next chapter.
Yeah, then Jacob looked glad, and looked, behold, Esau was coming with 400 men. Reminds me of Abimelech and, was it Isaac? Where Abimelech and Phicol was coming, and he thought he was dead meat. And, you know, here they erect, well, that's actually coming up, but I'm not going to talk about that. Johnny's going to get into that. Johnny?
You know, I can't keep from thinking that it's interesting, though. It's been 20, I believe it's 20 years since they separated, and all the children had come on and everything. But we understand from Scripture all that we need to know.
Yeah.
But there's no doubt they had heard about one another. I mean, I know news didn't travel back then like you know, does now. But there's no doubt, knowing each one as brothers, they know what's been going on in each one's life. They know that here was Jacob was coming. Esau knew that. And even though they hadn't been face to face, and it's really, I reckon it's the only time they come face to face, but they had to know what's been going on in one another's life. You know what they had to.
I suspect that, because all we get here is the highlights of somebody's lives. I mean, sometimes it's hard for us to explain or even understand why some of these things happen. I've always wondered how Jesus could spit on the ground, make mud, and put it in somebody's eye. I mean, what kind of logic is that in our mind? I mean, in my mind, zero. I mean, makes no sense why these things happen the way they happen. I mean, he could have set Jacob down, God, and say, look, don't worry about it no more. But he wanted Jacob to wrestle. He wanted Jacob in a desperate situation, a lost, nowhere else to run situation, and that because Jacob was going to be the blessed one. Jacob means Israel. I mean, he changed his name to Israel. And what is Israel? I mean, that's the nation of Israel is where this is coming from. So there's a lot going on here that I don't think we'll ever understand how things take place. But we know what happens. And we know Jacob's life in the past. And we're going to see a different Jacob as we go forward. I don't know who, Johnny, you got next week? Or
yeah,
Sunday?
Yeah.
You know, it starts putting the story more together. You know, like Esau said, I have plenty, my brother. Let what you have be your own. I mean, they reconciled. And Jacob did not expect that. He expected that this was his last night. When he was standing there with the staff, he said, I just had my staff, and here he is alone again. You know, when he run, he had a staff. When he ended up here, that's all he had. Well, everybody else, I mean, he was alone. And that makes you fearful to be alone. I don't do alone good. Does anybody in here do alone good? I mean,
really bad alone.
Yeah, it is. It's tough. That's a tough deal. And we don't think of it in those terms. We probably hardly even... When we read this, hardly even think of that in human terms. That if I was in those shoes, and I just sent all my family away, my brother was come with 400 men to kill me, you find yourself alone. And the human part of us, the being afraid part, it's going to come out. You know, you're not tough anymore. Not as tough as what you think you are. And he was kind of a runner-up to this point anyway. You know, just like, you know, he stayed at home in his tent with his mama. And he was afraid of Laban. He was afraid of Esau. He was always manipulating. And I'm not saying he was a total dishonorable person, but there were a lot of things there in his life that God was going to correct. You know, and that's what's happening here, that God is correcting these things, and he is starting to see them. And he walks away with a limp as a reminder. You know, every day I wrestled with God and I was preserved. Now, when you put that in terms of our lives, isn't that the same way? We wrestle with our issues, but God preserves us. He promised us. Why did Jesus Christ come? You know, that's the exact reason that we have an advocate, you know, that mediates for us. So anyway, I think that's what's going on here. Gary?
You said earlier, and I think it's correct, that Jacob never took a hold of God's promise or God himself wholly. So prior to this point, he didn't believe what God told his mother.
No, that's what...
The elder shall serve.
Oh, that's a good point.
The younger, so if he would have taken a hold of God's promise, and I'm not saying I do it most of the time, but, and it does get easier as I get older. That's what I tell my sons. It's easier to be a Christian when you get older.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can look back in hindsight and you can say, you know, I did the right thing there. Things, you know, there I didn't do the right thing. So obviously there were consequences. And if God says something, it's going to happen. And yeah. If I look back, it happened.
Yeah, when you're younger, you shake the tree just to see what's going to fall on you. When you get older, you kind of look up before you start shaking the tree. A snake may fall out of the tree. And of course, that's one more thing about what you were saying. Then you should say, these belong to your servant Jacob. It is a present sent to my lord Esau. He is calling Esau Lord, and he's saying, I'm the servant. Now, is that really what's going on?
Still got it backwards.
Just backwards. But why did he say that?
Because he didn't have faith. Yeah,
yeah, that's why.
He thought Esau was greater than God.
He is a different person after this wrestling match than he was there. Donna?
Well, I know we're going to talk about this later, but in chapter 35, it talks about that Jacob tells all of his household to get rid of all the strange gods, so he's been tolerating idolatry in his camp too.
Yeah.
And then he's going to change that as time goes on.
Yeah, and he married Rachel out of she was pretty. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason other than that's what it says. She was a virgin. She was beautiful. So he marries her, and what did Leah, who turned out to be the better wife?
Leah, she tried harder.
Yeah, I don't think there's a question about it. I think Leah, so he made a lot of stupid choices here. He just couldn't help fall in love with Rachel.
Doesn't it say he was buried by Leah?
He was
buried by Leah? Or am I wrong on that?
Yeah.
Because
Rachel died in the wilderness.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I see what you're saying now. Yeah.
I can't hold that against him. I tried to marry the prettiest girl I could find.
Hey, you're right. Well, Elvis Presley says, wise men say only fools fall in love. You know, he couldn't. Anyway. Any more comments on this chapter? We're about out of time.
Might have been a test, a final test for Jacob, and he much like what Abraham got tested with Isaac, taking him up on the mountain to sacrifice him. I think yeah. that was a test for him.
Oh, and yeah.
This may have been the same type of test.
Yeah. Well, the only difference between that and this is a test where Jacob was at his lowest point up to this point. He was at his lowest point. Abraham was at his highest point, or he wouldn't have done that. He couldn't have done it.
Well, one thing I noticed on it, in verse 24, it says a man with a capital M
yeah.
wrestled with him, and it's Jacob himself down here saying that I have seen God. So I think where Jacob's saying is in a literal sense.
Yeah. So anyway, no more comments? Johnny, you're up next, I reckon, if you want to.
Maybe
do Dyer.
I got it prepared. I just had to work on it.
Wrestling
on. Reason I couldn't go tonight is, but in fact, I went to bed about 2:30 this morning.
Oh. Well, I knew he's going to be all worn outside. He wasn't going to be up to teaching.
Yeah.
He's limping. He must have wrestled all night.
You don't look much tanner, so it must have been a real honey.
Well, I didn't make it out. No,
I was pretty cloudy in there, too.
No, I see my
stayed inside.
Pictures of my cherry on 100 pounds. And they said, I don't have any power.
Yes.
That's where they mailed the first.
They put a piece of paper up there. I think I still have another one. A couple of months left on that one. Hey, that used to drive me nuts when people would sit there right at me.
Yes, sir.
I'd have to change that all the time whenever they'd write a big number on there. It's like,
why didn't you use that line?
Yes. And you start to go uphill. All that 3 miles.